Anything, you guys? Anything? You can hear me now? What the heck, man? This is crazy. Try cat.
What's going on, Dina?
Long time no hear. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. I'm in Oklahoma.
How you doing? Oklahoma. Now, wait a minute. Are you there for work or did you move?
No, I'm going to a locksmith expo.
Oh, okay. So you're still in Colorado?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and you still have your business and everything. So that's awesome. Okay, sorry, guys. I don't know why Podbean, this is the second time it's doing that to me on Friday. Gosh, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I had some free time, so I hopped on here this morning.
Oh, that's awesome. How's life been treating you? Good?
Oh, very, very, very excellent. I'm extremely happy with life.
Now, did you finish your house?
Oh, yeah, it's done. It was done in September.
Oh, that's awesome. And the new business and everything is going good.
Yeah, it's going so good that I'm going to this expo so that I can look at all the new technology that came out for the 2024 year.
Uh-huh.
But, they've got this thing. It's a self-catcher for keys. And basically what it is it's like, I don't know what it is exactly, but you know how you melt metal and you cast stuff?
Yeah.
So this thing's got like a wax. It's like a wax briefcase. A briefcase filled with wax, but very small. And you put your numbers in digitally. And then you close it down, and it'll make the key no matter what, if you have a lock or not, as long as you have the right numbers. It's all digital, and there's a little 5-ounce container that, you know, you can melt down metal in. Pour it in there, and then it makes the key for you. You just file it down, get it smooth, and it'll work damn near on anything.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty new. Pretty cool stuff they're having, so I'm going to go check it out. The main reason I'm going is because they're having a competition. There is a safe that's probably the size of just two standard vehicles. And it's supposed to have $5,000 and a bunch of equipment. There's a machine in there worth $3,000. And the fastest time, Tuesday, the fastest time, they're going to let that person win the prize. So I'm excited to try that.
Oh, that's amazing. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's a $10 entry fee, so it's not like I'm losing much.
No, you get to try, and who knows? You might win. You might open it and win a bunch of money, so good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to try it out and see what happens.
That's good. Oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice and to hear everything is going well. That's great.
Oh, yeah, everything is great. My wife's in Arizona seeing the grandkids, and I'm driving through Oklahoma.
You're both out doing stuff. Well, great. Well, be safe out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will.
Be safe, and the best of luck. I hope you win.
I do, too, but we'll find out. I'm not too crazy over it, but, yeah, it would be nice. So I know there's $5,000 in there, and I know there's a machine in there. A key machine, but from what I'm understanding, there's like 1500 to 15,000. So who knows what's in there?
Interesting.
Yeah. So
that'll be fun whenever whoever gets to when it gets open to see how much and is in
right.
there.
So you don't actually get to open the actual safe with all the stuff in it. There's another safe with the same combination, and you just gotta fastest one wins.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, if somebody opens it, and then everybody can see what's in there.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
Walk away or sign up and have too many people.
And what day is that? What day
Tuesday.
Is that? Oh, okay.
All yeah, right. So I'm going to try and get there today by 4. They're having, they're giving away a bunch of stuff, so much stuff. today, and then tomorrow is the competition. But everything's catered and paid for, so they're going to reimburse gas on everybody.
That's always good to go and learn and try to be the best at you're doing, you know? Be the best, know the new stuff, know what works, what doesn't work, what's up and coming, and all that kind of good stuff.
Right, and, you know, it's an expo, so they're going to have demonstrations and stuff. So, you know, maybe that key machine that I was looking at on the line, maybe I won't like it in person, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Well, great.
Oklahoma is very, very green right now.
Did you say green?
Yeah, it's hard to see. It's so green out.
Oh, because I wonder if they've been getting a lot of rain.
Yeah, it's actually drizzling right now, but there's enough sunshine to kind of give that that sparkly look on the grass, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's so green, I'm shocked, actually.
Yeah, everybody's getting rain. That's what I'm going to go in everybody's weather. There's a lot of rain, a lot of rain. Welcome to the plains, Yancey says. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it was good to hear your voice, Troncat. I'm going to go on with the weather and the word of the day and the quote of the day. I wish you the best of luck and have so much fun.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Man, it makes me smile when you hear somebody you haven't seen or heard their voice in a while. It's so cool to be able to know that they're okay and that everything is going great for them. I think that's awesome. So anyway, it's with the weather, today is Monday, June 12th. Today in Denver, it's currently 51. We're under a flood warning still, lots of rain. Thunderstorms. Yeah, the only place that's not getting rain is Arizona, because Arizona is hot. But we're going to get thunderstorms, some severe in the afternoon. Canada, all around, heavy rain, heavy thunderstorms. And Bam Bam was saying, yeah, that they could even get tornadoes and stuff. So no fun. Be careful out there. BP, you're getting rain. Miss Hanny, sunny skies to go with your sunny spirit and hot. Just like you. All right. So the word of the day and encouragement in this world of hate is going to be, is sensitive. The word is sensitive. And I'm saying this because I was reading a description of a podcast and I'll get to that in a minute, but the word is sensitive. Having or displaying a quick, delicate appreciation for others' feelings. And the quote of the day is, if anyone ever dismisses you for being too sensitive, ask yourself this. Who is fragile? The person who is brave enough to say when something hurts, or the person who cannot apologize or admit to having caused the pain? Sensitivity, empathy, and compassion. These are badass superpowers. And that is by Nia Hoffman. And so anyway, back to this podcast, I was reading the description and the description said, if you're sensitive, then this podcast is not for you. And I was just like, whoa, that's kind of, I don't know. To me, I guess it was harsh because I am a sensitive person. And all of my life, I was told that that was bad, you know? So mind you, I have been in this podcast before several times. And, you know, I never felt like, oh my gosh, I'm being attacked or anything. So it just kind of caught me off guard. But as a sensitive person, it took me back to growing up, being taught how, sensitivity is bad, that there is something wrong with you if you show any type of emotion. It was never looked at as a gift, a blessing to have this ability to connect on such a deep level with others. I had a family member tell me, hey, you're blank, you know, my last name. You're blank. you need to be stronger. You're using my last name. You need to be stronger. I mean, here's the thing. You are strong. Sensitive people grow up with the message that there's something wrong with them, and there isn't. Their sensitivity is normal, healthy trait that comes with a lot of advantages that others do not possess. Highly sensitive people are imaginative, highly creative, intuitive, great listeners, can create magical things. They are soulful and spiritual, deeply moved by the arts, feel others' people's discomfort. And that's kind of a weird one to say, but it's true. Hi, Keith. Welcome. It's so true. You can. You have that deep, I don't know how to explain it. You just feel when somebody else is in pain. Easily overwhelmed, have a huge heart, feels for others, a rich inner life, deeply aware of substitutes. Our ability to connect with people with empathy and compassion is further enhanced by the fact that many of us have struggled. These personal struggles make it easier for us to understand and want to help other people who are struggling. That is a gift. Once I realized that being sensitive allows me to do things that others can't, it totally changed my perspective. When a person is mentally and emotionally healthy, being sensitive means being merciful, empathetic, compassionate, and strong. For me, the sensitivity that I was blessed with gives me the ability to show love to others and to give compassion and be empathetic. Insensitive, on the other hand, is no bueno, no good. The showing of a feeling of no concern for other people's feelings. An insensitive person is someone who shows little care, concern, or respect for the feelings and needs of others. Often, they live in a world of their own and are completely absorbed by their own thoughts, needs, and desires. They lack in affection, often as haughty, and will also engage in bullying behavior. And this is acceptable, right? Why is that acceptable? But people who are kind and sensitive are looked down and frowned upon. That doesn't make any sense. Something's wrong with the picture there. Something's just wrong. If you are pointing out what you believe is wrong with another person or a group of people, it is usually because something is wrong with you, not them. So look in the mirror, baby. I guess I just don't understand who gives anyone the right to say you are wrong because you are different than them. Do not let others try to tell you that your sensitivity makes you anything but the superhero that you are. Your voice and individuality matters. So fuck anyone who says otherwise. And yes, I just cursed. Remember, unfuckwittable. Bam. There you go. That's what I had to say about being sensitive. So, oh, dang, Mike. I know. I forgot your angel ears. Man. Let's see. I don't know what to play for you, Mike. Thank you, guys. Don't let anybody do that. It just kind of, it's not cool. Don't judge people. You should be able to learn from people. And if you're blessed enough to have somebody who is sensitive in your life, you're lucky. You're lucky. So there you go. All right. So on Wednesday, I'm going to do kind of a pre-Father's Day show. I kind of wanted to do it ahead of time to maybe give people out there ideas of maybe what to do. I'm going to tell you kind of what I'm going to be making and I'm doing. I open it up to any dads to come in and call in and say, hey, I'd like this. This would be really cool. I want to be left alone. I want to be taken out to eat, you know, whatever. Call in and say what you want. And then, of course, I have some songs about fathers. So if you guys want any songs about fathers, please let me know. That'll all happen on Wednesday. So, all right. I have a lot of hi, MCFQXN. Welcome. Did my dad tell you? Oh, he likes to be left alone. Yeah, leave me alone. Let me be alone. I know sometimes that's sometimes I'm mother of the day. That's what I want. Like, just pamper me, but just leave me alone. Let me be. But no, I want to be around people sometimes. All right. So with food, I have a whole lot of stuff. Did you guys hear about this happened over the weekend? And none of us were lucky enough to be there, but Cheez-Its set up like a pop-up crackers. It looked like a big gas tank, the thing you fill your car with gas, but it shot Cheez-Its out of it little in individual packages into your car as you drove up to this convenience store. And it was in Joshua Tree. Yeah, it was in Joshua Tree, 29 Palms Highway in Joshua Tree. And it was open until yesterday. And I guess you just drove up, rolled your window down, and it shot a bag of Cheez-Its into your car. That's kind of funny. I wonder, and they, of course, they had like all the gas tanks had like Cheez-Its stuff written all over it. The big guy, there's a big cowboy at this truck stop, and he was holding a Cheez-Its thing so you can take your pictures and stuff. But I think that would be kind of fun if they would do that, like have it travel around everywhere. You know, yes, Mike, Cheez-Its, not Jesus. No, they were not shooting Jesus into your car. Cheez-Its, the crackers. Oh, Mike, come on. You crack me up. Yeah, Cheez-Its, not Jesus. And then more on the food. I thought that would be fun. Anyway, if they would do that at other, you know, have it not just once and a more populated place too. I wonder how many people showed up. That seems like out in the middle of nowhere. Why they picked that place, I have no idea. All right, Mike, this girl, it says she attempts to eat 7 hot dogs. She eats 7 hot dogs. It says woman attempts to eat 7 IKEA hot dogs, and has people in awe. And it's a little video, it's a video, and she's this little teeny, of course, little teeny thing. But it just, it makes me want to barf because she's just eating these nasty old bar-ass hot dogs, bar-ass hot dogs with a little squirt of ketchup on it. And she just eats them. Oh, it's just nasty. And but she's so tiny. And her boyfriend's like, nope, she's not going to do it. And she eats them, all 7 of them. It's on video. Yeah, disgusting. So, and it's not like she got anything for it. You know, she just decided she wanted to eat 7 hot dogs, I guess. So I will post all this stuff that I'm talking about, these weirdos, on the Dina Jo podcast Facebook page. So moving on, 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Yeah, she would. Well, for sure she would. I mean, I don't care for hot dogs anyway. Ooh, by the way, Bam Bam. He found a recipe, since we're on hot dogs. If you're feeding a crowd, let me see if I can explain this. What he did is that you took one of those tins, you know, the throwaway tins, the big ones that you can get. You spray it first, fill it with hot dog buns, and then you fill the hot dog buns with hot dogs. I would cook the hot dog first, at least mine, to get it nice and crispy before putting it in the bun. But they didn't do that. They stuck the hot dogs in there. And then I believe it was Cheese Whiz next. This lady just like slapped on Cheese Whiz all onto the top of the hot dogs. And then she took Rotel, the tomatoes. She poured all the juice out, so it was just the tomatoes and the chili. And then she put that on top of the Cheese Whiz. And then she put, I believe it was grated mozzarella. If I'm missing anything, Bam Bam, throw it in there. Hi, Short Pants Robert. Hi, Hope. I'm sorry I missed you guys coming in. And then, you know, covered it and stuck it. He cooked his on the grill outside, which is perfect. You know, you don't have to heat up your house. And the buns got all crispy and the cheese got all melty and everything. It looked really good. Oh, green onions on top. There you go. It looked really good. And if you're feeding the crowd, super easy way to do it. So anyway, Tuttle's approved. Tuttle's family approved hot dogs. Yeah, and that's coming up for cooking. So that would be a good way to feed a bunch of people at your house. So anyway, the ladies' record for hot dogs in Bend, 48.5 in 10 minutes. Are you kidding me? Ugh, God, no, thank you. That's just gross. Thank you, Yancey. Welcome, Emma, WFTYTPB. So back here in Denver, this is kind of a crazy story. In Boulder, you know, there's so many trails out here to run, walk, whatever. But in Boulder, and there's a lot of them that have, you're going through where there's wildlife, cattle. And on, let's see if it says the date. Well, this was on the 7th. So this woman was jogging in Boulder County on a trail Tuesday morning. And when she was jogging through, there was 15 to 20 cattle, but most of them were mothers with babies. So if you see any baby cattle, don't go around because, I guess they are extremely protective. You know, it makes sense. And, they attacked her. The cows attacked the jogger. Another jogger, you know, came and to her rescue. I don't know how she's doing. It just says 15 to 20 cattle. Most of them were mothers, and that's the reason they closed the trailhead, and she was sent to the hospital. But insane, crazy, crazy, crazy. So yeah, if you see even geese are mean. I'm telling you, when I walk and you see if I see babies, I'm like, okay, I'm walking on the other side of the street because these darn things are mean. So yeah, baby season, don't go by them. Another really weird, I guess, sighting, we're going to talk about animals off of, the San Francisco coast. There was 20 killer whales, orca sightings. It says roughly 24 killer whales were spotted last month off the coast of San Francisco in an uncommonly large group of orcas in Northern California. They were on a tour, and I don't know why it takes so long for this. This just came out, but it was a month prior to that. And they show pictures of the whales. It's pretty cool. But can you imagine if you were on a sightseeing boat and you see these huge things kind of surrounding your boat? That would kind of freak me out a little bit. I don't know if I would think, you know, because they could make the water get all crazy and stuff. I don't know. It's amazing. It would be really cool to see them, but I don't want to be that close. I don't want to be that close to that many of those things. Yeah. So those orcas. So, BP, if you needed a job, you would be perfect for this because you love food. This is Krispy Kreme. They are looking for a chief donut dreamer. And it says, calling all Krispy Kreme lovers, for the first time ever, Krispy Kreme is looking for one lucky fan to fill its new position of chief donut dreamer. It says the chosen one will be invited to the company's headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they will work alongside Krispy Kreme innovative team to develop a new fan fave donut, which will be available for purchase in Krispy Kreme stores. Let's see. The winner of the coveted position will not only get the opportunity to leave their mark on Krispy Kreme history, but will also be awarded a year of free donuts. Krispy Kreme will begin accepting applications for the position from now through June 18th. So you only have not that very much longer to apply, but you need to apply, you need only to record a video of yourself displaying your love for the brand and pitching your most inspired donut flavor idea for sharing it via Twitter, Instagram with the hashtag Chief Donut Dreamer and hashtag contest. So what would your favorite donut? Oh, BP already put it in there. A chocolate and bacon donut. That sounds good. What else would we have in there? What do you think? Oh man, let's see. The men's record, 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes back to that hot dog. That's so gross. I don't know how they, I know they train their throat. Sounds kind of gross. They train their throat, you know, to open, how they can swallow the food without even drinking water and stuff. It's just gross. So anyway, yeah. All right. Back to the hot dogs. Any other flavors? What do you think? Chocolate and bacon donut. I know, Boston cream and peanut butter. Ooh, interesting. Yeah, it sounds like you would have to get creative. They're not into like they don't seem to be into the weird crap, like, you know, like the ranch ice cream and stuff like that. They don't get into that. They're just more, yeah, innovative donut tasting flavors, I guess. Maple frosting with apple filling. That actually sounds pretty good. Because then you could like pull off like the maple syrup from using the maple syrup from Canada with apples, yeah, from the orchards of whatever. Yeah, you can get all fancy. That actually sounds pretty good. Kind of apple fritters are my favorite, but they have to have apples in it. A lot of them are just like a bunch of dough and not apples. But yeah, an apple fritter with a bunch of apples and then maple syrup on top. Yeah, maple and bacon that's a good fit for sure. For sure. So anyway, if you want to be a Krispy Kreme chief donut dreamer, I do think that would be a fun job. Go ahead and apply. See what happens. Wouldn't that be funny if you won? I think that'd be kind of cool. All right. So now we're going to move on to pickles. And this reminds me of Hanny. She was drinking some pickle vodka, which she said was very good, by the way. So now Pizza Hut, I guess, and I hate when they do this too. Like they introduce like, hey, we're starting this new, we're going to have this new pizza, but psych, it's only going to be in this area. You can't get it. And that's exactly what they're doing with this one. And it is the new pickle pizza. And it sounds weird, but hold on. It says pickles are crunchy, tangy. Okay, where does it get into? It's like chicken. It's chicken ranch. Then it has some sliced pickles. And it is available in New York City, I believe. Yeah, New York City, 932 8th Avenue in New York City. The Pickle Top Pizza will debut for only 48 hours. So it already happened. It's already gone. But at least, you know what? If you're going to make your own, maybe you can try it. It was $18. Here we go, finally. The pizza is topped with cheese, crunchy breaded chicken that is covered in Nashville hot spices, so it's spicy, onions. The final layer is a helping of spicy dill pickle browns and a splash of ranch dressing. That doesn't sound too bad, actually. It sounds kind of good. You don't like it? Oh, wait a minute. What did BP say? They have pickle pizza here. Oh, have you tried it, BP? Mike, you don't think it sounds good? I don't know. I think I'd try it. Really? I think I would try it. I really do. I do like me some pickles. And then along with the pickles and the pickle vodka, another pickle hard seltzer. And these are, how do you say it? Grillo's pickles. I've seen them before at Costco. Grillo's pickles. I've never tried them before. Has anybody ever tried them? Because they're kind of expensive and I didn't want to buy them if they're not any good. But I guess now they have their own pickle hard seltzer. And it's two robbers, Kraft hard seltzer with Grillo's pickles, made with Grillo's pickles seasoning in it. So I don't know. I think I'd try that too. But because Hanny said the vodka she got was good. Now, Hanny, did you have to order that online, or was it they probably have it everywhere, huh? It's such a big thing now. I have had pickle moonshine. Now, I remember you saying that, BP, and you liked it, didn't you? And you know what? Pickle juice is supposed to be really good for you, like for leg cramps and stuff like that. It's supposed to be really good for you. Let's see what else I have. I went over the pickles. Oh, with alcohol still, Fireball. And I had the Fireball song too to play. They are having, where is it? Fireball is releasing a fancy barrel age whiskey for Father's Day. And I wish I could remember, I wish they would say the guy's name in this picture. He's a comedian. Let's see. Chances are you've been at a social event where someone has suggested a round of Fireball. The hot cinnamon flavored whiskey was introduced in 1984, but only burst its popularity many years later, becoming a staple at college parties and trendy bars alike. Now the company hopes to take its cinnamon forward booze to the next level with the introduction of barrel-aged whiskey just in time for Father's Day, it says. In a June 7th news release, the company announced the release of Fireball Dragon Reserve, a bourbon barrel-aged whiskey that elevates the classic flavor profile. Fireball Dragon Reserve builds on the warm heat of the original whiskey while adding depth with layers of smoky flavor from the aging process. The end result is a whiskey that is fiery, hot, rich, and velvety, suitable for dad's discerning palate. So, Fireball. Oh, comedian Rob Riggle. Rob Riggle is his name. I didn't know Fireball. Fireball Whiskey was a Canadian-based company. I had no idea. Hi, Mr. A. How are you? Let me see if my phone, I think it just dinged. Let's see what's going on there. So, Fireball. I've never been quite the Fireball person, I guess. I don't know. That stuff's dangerous. It's dangerous. If you want some Fireball, buy some. Thank you guys for the likes. Sent you a picture of the pickle pizza. Oh, okay, perfect. Ooh. Oh, that even looks better than the one that they have on this. That looks way better, BP. It looks like a big spider web. It looks yummy. All right. So remember the Monster cereal? The monsters. Which ones were they? Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and Booberry. Well, now they finally introduced a female. We had to get into the picture here. It is Carmela Creeper. Carmela Creeper is her name. Carmela Creeper's appearance will mark the first time that the brand has featured a female mascot. However, this isn't the first time a female mascot was planned. Female Mummy Berry Pachira and Bride of Frankenberry were both in the running to join the line in the 90s, but didn't cut it. Carmela Creeper will now have the honors thanks to her launch this summer. She is a zombie DJ, a distant cousin to the longtime mascot Frankenberry. Complete with a fierce attitude and looks to match, Carmela is ready to shake things up on the Monster Haunted Mansion cereal aisle. So there you go. And you get to read the box. Do you guys remember fighting over, well, I had four brothers and sisters, and you had to fight over who got to read the box, who got to read what was on the back of the box, because it was interesting. So Carmela Creeper. I'm not into all that sugary, sweet cereal, but yeah, it's out there, totally out there. Yeah. And then you go down the cereal aisle and there's like, the whole aisle is just cereal, sweet, sugary cereal. Let's see. I have a couple more and then we'll get into music. For those of you who have a Tim Horton, there's some here in the States, but it's mostly in Canada. They actually are celebrating summer with three new strawberry treats, and one of them looks really, really yummy. There's a strawberry dipped donut with sprinkles, a strawberry cream filled donut, And then the strawberry cheesecake muffin. That's the one that looks good. It's got a little bit of cream cheesy stuff, cheesecake in the middle. I don't know. It looks delicious. It looks really good. I'm making myself hungry. Making myself hungry here. This last story, you guys, tell me what you think about it. I guess when you put yourself out there, like when people are saying, I'm an influencer, I don't understand all of that anyway. You just think you're something. So you, whatever. There's this girl who's an influencer and her landlord called her out. This happened in China, according to the BBC. China has been exposed for living a double life, this girl, after her landlord exposed the filthy conditions of the star's apartment. And do you think that this is right? Okay, so I guess the landlord had been trying to contact this girl over and over and over, and she would not pick up the phone. I don't know why. There was complaints. Probably because it says that if you see the pictures of her apartment, it says that there's even dog poop all over the floor, trash. It's just gross. And, she says, let's see. So after not being able to contact this girl, she decided she was going to go in and videotape it all. And then she posted it. So what do you guys think about that? I mean, she puts her life out there, right? But then, this lady was like, she's fake. She pretends to be all, rich and, beautiful, and she takes care of herself. But this is how she leaves my apartment that she rents. And it's just gross. It's just gross. And so then after she posts the picture, the girl comes back and then has the whole meeting videotaped, which I think is weird. Like she has somebody videotaping her apologizing to the landlord, and then they shake hands and she says she's going to clean it up. And then she has somebody filming her cleaning it up. And then, so now a bunch of people are mad at her, but this is the other weird thing too, you guys. It says the Chinese government is making a huge push to make celebrities be socially responsible. State media outlets reportedly rank Chinese celebrities and give them a responsibility report according to three criteria: professional work, charitable actions, and personal integrity. It says actress Fan Bingbing, who received a recent score of 0% in a report, listen to this, has not been seen in public since July 1st when she went and visited a children's hospital. So then all of a sudden people just disappear? I mean, don't you think that's that's a bit crazy? They have social credit scores there. Yeah, that's, can you just imagine somebody doesn't like what you're doing? I mean, of course, this video, you can see it's not fake. The house is, the apartment is just disgusting. But still, all of a sudden, somebody disappears because they had a 0% score. They're just gone. That there's that much. That's a little scary. That's a little scary. But I mean, the whole thing about being an influencer, I don't like that word. It's totally disgusting. I just looked it up. See, you could see her house. Isn't it gross? And so you can imagine, I mean, if you have animal feces or even garbage in your apartment, after a while, it starts to stink. And I can only imagine people around her, it's just gross. Yeah. And then to pretend to be this clean and proper and whatever person, but behind the scenes, you can't even take care of something that belongs to somebody else. I don't know. Crazy. But that whole, the government giving you grades and looking into, I don't know. That's a little bit too much for me. All right. Moving on. I was gonna say I'm gonna stop talking for a minute just to bring up the music. And where did it go? We're doing 60s and early 70s rediscovered. The era of rock and roll shed an innocent, experimental, and become a radical force in cultural change, it says. And I believe that. I mean, the 60s and 70s, the music, the words meant something. We're going to start with Down on Me, Big Brother and Holding Company, Janis Joplin. A little bit of history about the song. Down on Me is a traditional freedom song from the 1920s or earlier that became popular following its remake by Janis Joplin and Big Brother in the Holding Company. Janis Joplin rearranged the song, credited new lyrics. The song was originally released in the summer of 1967 and was featured on the band's big album, Big Brother Holding Company. The song reached number 42 on the charts, barely missing the 40 mark. The third and final stanza of Joplin's verse ends with a positive message. Believe in your brother, have faith in man. Help each other, honey, if you can. Because it looks like everybody in this whole round world is down on me. Here she is, Janis Joplin, Big Brother Holding Company, Down on Me. Way too soon, DP. Way too soon. Hey, Patrick. Welcome. Down on me. Stand it down on me. Down on me. Looks like I'm about to see this whole round world. Down on me. When you see a hand that's held out toward you, feel some love. Can you imagine, like, taking a time capsule back to, like, Woodstock and being there? I've been crazy. That is the great voice of Janis Joplin, the Big Brother Holding Company. Down on Me. Great song. All right. We're going to move on to Mr. Tambourine Man by the Byrds. Bob Dylan wrote Mr. Tambourine Man, which originally released on his fifth album. His version wasn't released as a single, but the Byrds released their cover on April 12th, 1965. It was a transatlantic hit, topping the charts in both the US and the UK. It's the only song Dylan ever wrote that went to number one in America. It is funny because in one interview, Dylan says the song is not about drugs. He says, drugs never played a part in that song. Drugs were never that big a thing for me. I could take them or leave them. Never hung me up. And then in another interview, he talks about how he wrote the song while on a road trip with friends in San Francisco. They smoked a lot of pot along the way, replenishing their stash at the post office where they had mailed pot along the way. He started writing it after they got to Mardi Gras in New Orleans and partied there that night, February 11th, 1964. He probably just can't remember which one was true. I don't know, but here's the Byrds with Mr. Tambourine Man. And isn't it against the law? You're not supposed to send drugs through the mail. The 60s. Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
senses have been stripped, and my hands can't feel to grip, and my toes too numb to step. Wait only for my foot heels to be wandering. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for to fade onto my own parade. Pasture dances fell my way. I promise to go under it.
That is The Birds with Mr. Tambourine Man off the album Tambourine Man in 1965. All right, this next one, The Monkees. It says, I'm not your stepping stone. Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote this, but intended it for Paul Revere and the Raiders. But they didn't get it. The song is about a girl who walked all over a guy, but now he's decided he's not going to take it anymore, telling her, I'm not your stepping stone. He's wise to the fact that she's just using him to boost her status. The song became the first Monkees B-side to chart, reaching number 20 on the Billboard Hot 100. Here they are, the Monkees with I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. And I swear this sounds like somebody other than the Monkees, but...
in society, you're using all the tricks that you used on me. You're reading all them high fashion magazines. The clothes you're wearing, girl, are causing public scenes. I said, I'm not your stepping stone. I'm not your stepping stone. Not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone.
That is the Monkees with I'm Not Your Stepping Stone off the album More of the Monkees, 1966. All right, we're going to, oh, stop, Monkees. We're going to move on to Jefferson Airplane, another woman with a good voice. The song is Volunteers, written by Jefferson Airplane's guitarist Paul Kattner and vocalist Marty Balin. This song is a call to take a stand against the U.S. government and the war in Vietnam. In a 1993 interview, Balin explains, it became political, but it didn't start out that way. I had woken up to the sound of garbage cans crashing outside the mansion and looked out, and there was this Volunteers of America truck. So I wrote that down and gave it to Paul, and he wrote the song. Bang, that's it. People put all kinds of meaning to it. It was about trash cans. So anyway, a big part of the San Francisco protest scenes in the 60s, Jefferson Airplane played a spirited version of at Woodstock 6 months before the song came out. Here they are, Jefferson Airplane, Volunteers. Don't you hate that, BP, when people are making noise outside your mansion? So annoying. Oh, That was a bit of Volunteers by Jefferson Airplane off the album Volunteers in 1970. You know, I wonder with the way that politics is going now and all the stuff that we have going on in our beautiful world, that do you think, I mean, because back in the 60s and the early 70s when they wrote songs like this, it was all, well, actually, some of it were just about trash cans, but a lot of it had, you know, where you could take the meaning of the songs. And then they did Woodstock because people were trying to get together and like, peace, baby, man, love, you know, because there was so much hate and craziness in the world, which is like today. Wouldn't it be kind of, I don't know, if there would be a group of artists who would come back and make music like that and get together and do something. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool. All right. The next song I have is The Animals, and it's Boom Boom. Boom Boom is a song written by American blues singer and guitarist John Lee Hooker and recorded in 1961. English rock band The Animals recorded Boom Boom for their 1964 UK debut album, The Animals. Their blues rock rendition generally follows John Lee Hooker's original, although they added Shake It Baby as a response to Come On and Shake refrain in the middle section, taken from Hooker's Shake It Baby. It reached number 43 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 14 on the Canadian RPM Top 40 45 single chart. So here they are, The Animals, Boom Boom. Thank you, Hanny.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down. Take you in my arms. I'm in love with you. Love that is true. Boom, 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 boom. I like the way you walk.
Like thank you, Yancy.
When you walk that walk and you talk that talk, you knock me out right off of my feet. Come on and shake, shake it, baby. Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Thank you, Mike. That is The Animals, Boom Boom, off The Animals album, 1961. I like it. Like it, like it. All right, the next song that I have is going to be the Trogs. The Trogs, Love Is All Around. Trogs lead singer Reg Presley wrote this in about 10 minutes. He was inspired by the Joy's String Salvation Army band he'd seen on TV. The song is a gentle folk ballad in the far cry from the Trogs' previous hit, Wild Thing. In 1994, this became a huge hit when Wet, Wet, Wet covered it for the movie Four Weddings and a Funeral. Their version was number one in the UK for 15 weeks and became the best-selling single in the UK in 1994. The UK record for the longest stay at number one is held by Bryan Adams. Everything I do for you. Wet, Wet, Wet's record company tried to tie this record by announcing they were pulling the single after 16 weeks, hoping people would rush out and buy buy it. The plan failed, and Wigfield knocked them out of number one with Saturday Night Wet, 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 claimed they asked the record company to pull the song because they were sick of it. Their version does hold the record for the most weeks at number one for the UK-based act. It is in the UK, it reached number 41. Okay, this is funny. So when the song was revived by Wet, 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 Reg Presley got massive royalties as the songwriter. He donated the proceeds to, he gave it to Crop Circle Research. Really? Some of these, give it to Dina Jo, Crop Circle Research? Holy hell. Here are the Trogs with Love Is All Around. Crop circles. Give me a break.
I feel it in my fingers.
I know.
I feel it on my toes. Health is all around me, and so the feeling grows. It's written on the wind. It's everywhere I go.
Welcome, RTCCBAIY. Good to see you. Yeah, I remember the Wet, Wet, Wet one from that movie, Four Weddings and a Funeral. It's good. That is the Trogs, Love Is All Around, off the album Love Is All Around, 1967. All right, we're going to move on to a little bit of Paul Revere and the Raiders with the song Kicks. This was written by the husband and wife team of Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, who were in their mid-20s at the time, but already established songwriters with You've Lost That Love and Feeling and Blame It on the Bossa Nova among their credits. This might be the first anti-drug rock song. It finds lead singer Mark Lindsay telling a girl that drugs won't fill the emptiness inside her and she needs to get straight before it's too late. Get straight before it's too late, girl. Kicks is the song. Is a stand-in. Kicks is refers to drugs. The last thing most teenagers want to hear was another warning about the dangers of drugs. But this song came, didn't come out as preachy. It sounded more like a honest concern from a friend than a finger wagging of an authority figure. So let's see what let's give it a listen and see what you think. Paul Revere and the Raiders, Kicks. Girl. not is a little bit of Paul Revere and the Raiders Kicks off the album Midnight Rider in 1966. Kicks. All right. We're going to move on to I Fought the Law, the Bobby Fuller Four. This was written by Sonny Curtis, who is a member of the Crickets. And the Crickets were recorded it shortly after Buddy Holly's death in 1959. Fuller was a popular singer, guitarist from El Paso, Texas. And he first recorded this song in 1964, where it was a regional hit in New Mexico and West Texas. Fuller was found dead in the front seat of his mother's car shortly after I Fought the Law became a national hit. His death was ruled a suicide, but there were signs of foul play and the investigation was tainted, leaving the circumstances of the death a mystery and rumors to run rampant. Rick Stone, who was the roadie for Bobby Fuller Four and good friends with the band, said in an interview, "My mom, Mary Stone, wrote music with Bobby at our home, 7420 Capabilla Lane in El Paso, Texas. Bobby did not have gas in his mouth when he was found in the car, but he did die of asphyxiation." Okay, so here is Bobby Fuller Four with I Fought the Law. Sad, either way, sad. Thank you, Yancey. Thank you, BP. Thank you, Annie. But she's the best girl I've ever had. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. Billy D, how the heck are you? That is the Bobby Fuller Four, I Fought the Law, off the album The Bobby Fuller Four, 1965. It's funny, all these guys are like in their little suits or their little sweaters. They all match. Cute. All right, the next one is The Kingsmen, Louie Louie. Louie Louie is written by R&B singer named Richard Perry in 1955 with his group The Pharaohs. He was also the first to record the song. The words to Louie Louie are almost impossible to understand and are rumored to be obscene. If you can remember, the FBI launched an extensive investigation into this song after Indiana Governor Matthew Welch declared it pornographic in early 1964 and asked the Indiana Broadcasters Association to ban it. The investigation spanned offices in several states, with technicians listening to the song at different speeds, trying to discern any obscene lyrics. None were found. The FBI eventually figured out what had happened when they contacted the FCC. The report details this correspondence. She explained that for approximately 2 years, her company had been receiving unfound complaints concerning the recording of Louie Louie. She advised that, to the best of her knowledge, the trouble started by an unidentified college student who made up a series of obscene verses for Louie Louie and then sold them to fellow students. So that's how it all started. Here it is, the obscene porn. Mike, cover your ears. Here's The Kingsmen, Louie Louie. Thank you. It's pornographic, Mike. Cover your ears. Oh, you got a sweet tooth, Billy. I got sugar for you. Ding, ding. Mike probably fell asleep. That's good. I don't understand how anybody can listen to this and think that anything he's saying is obscene or pornographic. That's the Kingsmen with their dirty song, Louie Louie, off the album Louie Louie, the Kingsmen in person, 1963. So dirty. All right, we're going to move on to Brown Eyed Girl, Van Morrison. And I'm just assuming that my Hanny J has brown eyes, because she looks like she has brown eyes. So this one's for you. This was Morrison's first release as a solo artist. He was previously with the group Them. The song appeared on his debut solo album and again in his 1973 compilation TB Sheets. It's one of Morrison's most enduring songs, but he thinks a lot less of it than most of the public. He explained, "Brown Eyed Girl, I didn't perform for a long time because for me, it was a throwaway song. I got about three other songs I like a lot better than that one." Aw, I like this song. Here's Van Morrison. This one's for you, Hanny, Brown Eyed Girl. Yes, you're right, Billie Jean. It was supposed to be Brown Skin Girl, but they didn't think it would go over very well on the radio.
Brown-eyed girl, do you remember when
That is Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl, off the album Blowing Your Mind in 1967 for my beautiful Annie J, Brown Eyed Girl. Love it. All right, we're going to move on from Brown Eyed Girl to the Chamber Brothers, Time Has Come Today. This psychedelic soul classic was written by two of the four Chambers brothers, Joe and Willie. Joe wrote most of the lyrics after sitting in a class at UCLA with Timothy Leary and taking LSD. Okay, Willie put the music together and contributed the line, "My soul has been psychedelicized." The song spoke to the younger generation that was fighting for civil rights, social justice, and the end to the Vietnam War. The lyrics were somewhat ambiguous, but the constant repetition of the word time makes it clear that the song is a call to action. Here it is, the Chamber Brothers. Time has come today. Cuckoo. It sounds like a cowbell for sure. Yeah, that sure does sound like a cowbell to me. Psychedelic size. That is the Chamber Brothers, Time Has Come, off the album Time Has Come in 1966. All right, we're going to move on to, let's see what's next, The Yardbirds, For Your Love. This was written by Graham Goldman, who later became the bass player from the group 10cc. Oh man, I totally remember them, 10cc. This is one of the most famous rock songs to feature a harpsichord, which was arranged by Yardbirds bassist Paul Samwell Smith, who made wholesale changes to Graham's Goodland's original demo. Goodman says in an interview, the harpsichord was the absolute stroke of genius. The record just had a weird, mysterious atmosphere about it. The Yardbirds didn't have a lot of hits, but were one of the most influential and original bands of the 60s and easy pick for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which they entered in 1992. Here are the Yardbirds, For Your Love. Thank you, BB. Thank you, Billy D.
For your love.
Thank you, Hanny.
For your love. For your love. I'd give you everything and more, and that's for sure. For your love. I'd bring you diamond rings and things right to your door. For your love. I'll give you diamonds bright. There'll be things that will excite. They'll make you dream of me at night.
Hi, Yusuf. Thank you. Shake those hips.
For your love, for your love, I will give the stars above. For your love, for your love, I will give you all my gold.
Thank you, Yancy. Ooh, French toast. Yum. That is the Yardbirds, For Your Love, off the album For Your Love, 1965. All right, we're going to move on to a little daydream in the Love and Spoonful. This lazy, laid-back celebration of love on a summertime day originated with John Sebastian's attempt to rewrite the Supremes' Baby Love, though it turned into quite something different. John Sebastian, we had no way of knowing what a nice long life shelf life some of that material was going to have. At the time, we were certainly aiming only for the next few months. That's really what we were trying to do, a top 10 record right now, right then. Everything else was unexpected. The song was the Loving Spoonful's third consecutive single to enter the top 10 in the United States and their most successful to that point, reaching number 2. It was also a major international hit, becoming the band's first single to chart in the United Kingdom and ultimately their most successful there, reaching number 2 also. So here they are, Love and Spoonful with Daydream.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you, Billy Dee.
Dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm going to take a walk in the sun and follow my face for somebody new. Hold on.
Oh no, it said he fell on his face on somebody's new mowed lawn. Welcome.
She's the one makes me feel this way. And even if time is passing me by a lot, I couldn't care less about the dues you say I got. Tomorrow I pay the dues for dropping my
load. Yes, the lawn club incident for sure. Hi, Trish. Welcome. Don't be daydreaming when you're mowing the lawn. That is Love and Spoonful's Daydream off the album Daydream in 1966. All right. He's lost in a daydream, and we're going to move on to Sunshine Superman by Donovan. Let's see. Donovan's first met his future wife, Linda Lawrence, in 1965 when she was recovering from a broken relationship with Rolling Stone founder Brian Jones. The pair dated briefly, but not wanting the scrutiny and uncertainty of being a pop star's girlfriend all over again, Lawrence broke it off at the end of the year, and Donovan responded with this song. It's just like Taylor Swift. It's not a normal love song, the singer said. On the face of it, the song is about being with Linda again. but Sunshine is the nickname for acid. Okay. The Superman is the person capable of entering higher states, because it's not easy to go into the fourth dimension and see the matrix of the universe in which everything is connected. Okay. Jimmy Page played lead guitar on this, and Page was a session musician at the time. So here is Donovan with Sunshine Superman.
Sunshine came softly through my window today.
Oh, now that Sunny D vodka thing sounds disgusting.
I changed my ways. It'll take time, I know.
Did you try it, Yancy?
You're gonna be mine, I know it.
I don't know. I can't. That's exactly what I was just thinking, BP. Tang. I would take Tang over Sunny D any day. And that's my cousin. That is Donovan with Sunshine Superman off the album Sunshine Superman, 1966. That's okay, Billy D. You can have the Sunny D. I'll give it to you. I'll save it all for you. You can have it all. All right. Last song. We're kind of going into the almost the 70s. A Whole Lot of Love. Led Zeppelin had to end with this one. This blistering track from Led Zeppelin's second album contains some of Robert Plant's most lavish, I don't know why they say lavish, lyrics, cued from the blues. It's not poetry, but he gets his point across quite effectively, letting the girl know that he's yearning and ready to give her all of his love, every inch of it. Plant's lyrics are based on the 1962 Muddy Waters song written by Willie Dixon called You Need Love, where Waters sings, excuse me, I ain't fooling, you need schooling. Baby, you know you need cooling. Woman way down inside. The band reached an agreement with Dixon, who used the settlement money, not for crop research, but to set up a program for instruments for school. Much better than crop research. Here's Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love. The pre-sun seltzer.
You need cooling. Baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna send you back to school. Way down inside, honey, you need. I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love. Oh. Wanna hold out of love?
Thank you, Yusuf.
I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love. Oh, hold on to love. Hold on to love.
Hold on to love. Hold on to love. I'm watching you and get a little hug seltzer.
Mm.
kept those little jugs that came in. Oh my gosh. I want to hear the drums. I gotta wait for that part. Thank you, Bam Bam. That is Led Zeppelin with a whole lot of love. Yes, to end it. Love it. Get you guys ready for Monday. Get you going. Tackle that week ahead of you. Yes. Yeah, and I am not sure what the heck is going on with Podbean making me start the show over. That happened Friday and it happened again. I guess maybe I need to make a ticket and say, what the heck, why are you guys making me do this twice? Come back on. So I don't know, but I appreciate all you guys coming back. Thank you for not giving up and coming back and supporting me. I appreciate you guys so much. Hi, Bella. Good to see you. All right, guys. Thank you. And I'm going to leave you guys like I always leave you. Let's see if this works. Let's see. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Just remember, it's going to try to knock you on your ass and it's going to wait and see how you respond. Try to respond the right way. And if you don't, give yourself a little grace because you know what? Everybody gets a little mad. It's okay. But I just want you guys to know that you are loved and you are appreciated. And let's see. Hanny J, she is all, she's all over the place, but she's tonight, Joe Antonio's show. She evens out all the testosterone in that room. She's on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. And then I found her show on Saturday evenings with Russ and Mr. Yancey. And I really liked that. It was kind of like a positive, I tried to do the word of the day kind of thing and they were chatting about stuff and it was very positive. I liked it. And then I guess Yancey and Russ have a show after that, but I was too tired and it's music and stuff. So that comes on Saturdays. And so anybody else in the chat that might have a show in here, please put it in there so people know so they can follow you. We always want to promote that. I think I got everybody. Oh, yes. WKOP, the wrong kind of podcast. And you know what? You can ask your Alexa to play it and she will play it. She did it yesterday for me when I was cooking. I was like, wow, this is cool. I get to listen to it. Yeah. So no show, just food. Oh, yes. BP, follow him because he, you get to get jealous, but you could get some ideas of what he's eating and make it yourself. So anyway, I love you guys. Have a good rest of your day. Be positive and love one another. Oh, Bella Forever. It's a show. Follow Bella Forever. She has a show too. All right, guys. Love you. Bye.